I know, realize not everyone gets a break, and I've had times where I've had to work right through Christmas and New Year's. But with this role of being a pastor, I get a little bit of time off between Christmas and New Year's, and that's a time to think about the New Year as well, too, right? It's a time to kind of evaluate the year that was, but then look forward, make some plans, and make some goals, and you know, just sometimes that change of pace and that little bit of free time is really good. And so I've had a chance to do that and do a little bit more reading and get into some just some teaching that's lifting me up and encouraging me. One of the things that I get blessed with each week in my email actually is a weekly newsletter from Kenneth Copeland Ministries Canada. I think they call it the KCM Weekly or something like that. And there was an email that came through, I think it was last Sunday, so it would have been the last day of 2017. And the title of the email caught my attention. It said, 4 Ways to Have a Strong Spirit in 2018. Did anyone else get that email or pick up on that? Some of you guys might get that email, but that kind of caught my attention. 4 Ways to Have a Strong Spirit in 2018. Because, you know, just how Ryan was talking about that he wants to have his barns full, I want to have a strong spirit, right? So if there's an email there and saying, 4 Ways to Have a Strong Spirit, you know, even there's something about that phrase, 4 ways, it's like, oh, I need to know these steps, right? It's just like my natural inquisition kicks in. And so I found time to read that article this week and was blessed by it. And so we're going to talk about some of those things that I read about and learned in that article, because a strong spirit means so much. It's so important to us. If we're going to have success in 2018, if we're going to accomplish everything that God has put before us, and walk in victory in our lives, in all areas of our lives, in 2018, we need a strong spirit for sure. God's got exciting plans for me and for you, I believe, for our families and for our church family. There's exciting things, I believe, that are going to happen this year that we'll be able to look back on this year and say, that was an awesome year. There were some really neat things that happened in 2018 in my life and at Solid Rock as well, too. And so we're going to start, we're just going to get into this. And so we're going to talk today about how to develop a strong spirit. What is a strong spirit? There's a scripture in Proverbs 18:14 that gives us a hint about that. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Why can the spirit of a man sustain him in sickness? Well, if another way to think about a strong spirit is to be strengthened in the Lord. The Bible talks about that phrase quite a lot. Or also to have have your heart be strengthened. I know David uses those words lots of times in the Psalms about having his heart strengthened. And I believe a strong spirit won't only just sustain us in sickness, but it'll sustain us through lots of other things as well. Really any kind of trouble that we find ourselves in, if we have a strong spirit that's been strengthened by the Lord, it can bring us through that situation. A strong spirit is confident, it's immovable, it's set. It has its eyes set on the Word of God, and it's ready for anything. It's steady under pressure, it's solid in times of trouble. That is a strong spirit. A strong spirit is also full of joy and peace, because it's looking for joy in the right place, and it's looking for peace in the right place. You know, when we think of a strong spirit, I automatically often think of David, and it's probably because of the Psalms. I talked about this a little bit the last time I spoke, but David just often lays it out for us, right? He just lays it bare in the Psalms, especially the first, David wasn't the only person who wrote the book of Psalms, but the first portion of that book of the Bible was mostly written by King David, and he just lays it bare. He just tells us what he's going through, how he's feeling, but again and again we see in the book of Psalms how David made the Lord his strength and he had a strong spirit. One of the neatest statements that David made, now this is actually in 2 Samuel 22:30. David says, for by you I can run against a troop, by my God I can leap over a wall. You might think that David was arrogant and self-confident in his own abilities, but that's not what he was referring to. David was saying, for by you, so in your strength, I can run against a troop. What does it mean to run against a troop? David is saying, with your strength, I can take on a whole lot of guys. I can go against a troop of men, a company of men. God, with your strength, I can conquer and go against impossible odds. And with my God's help, I can leap over a wall. Now, I'm not sure how many of you guys are good at jumping. I never really was very good at jumping. I used to play basketball a little bit when I was in my younger years. And I could always just barely touch that rim. And then I had guys, I had actually a friend, Joel Wells. I used to play basketball with him when I traveled to Regina. And Joel was probably 4 inches shorter than I was. And he could jump up in his rim and, you know, would hit his wrist or lower part of his forearm. But he, you know, he naturally worked at, you know, gaining that strength and working on his jump. But the walls that they had in biblical time, these are big walls, right? And so when David is saying, with your strength, I can leap over a wall. Again, he's talking about something that's not possible in the natural, but with God's strength and with a strong spirit, it's possible. We know that David faced a lot of challenges, right? Where did he start off? With a bear, a lion, Goliath. The Philistine nation was oppressing the nation of Israel so much during David's early years, right? So under the reign of King Saul, and then under the first part of David's reign, there was so much there. David had Saul coming against him, right? So Saul was his father-in-law. He married Saul's daughter, and he had his father-in-law trying to kill him. David had lots of things against him. He had insurrection in his own family, right? He had sons that would rise up against him. And so he constantly had to strengthen himself in the Lord because of some of the things that were arrayed against him. Psalms 28, 7 and 8 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. The Lord gives his people strength. He is a safe fortress for his anointed king." So, of course, David is talking about himself and saying, "I'm the Lord's anointed, but God is a safe fortress for me. He's my very present help in trouble, and I trust him with all my heart." David had learned from a very young age. I mean, what kind of young shepherd boy takes on a bear or takes on a lion, right? So even it was clear from even a very young age, David had learned how to get a strong spirit. That's why, you know, in that story of David and Goliath, when he came to Saul and said, "I'll take that guy on," everyone was taken aback with David's audacity, right? He had a boldness and a strength that they wouldn't expect from someone so young and someone so unknown. Why was that? Why did David have that boldness? Why did he have that strength? It's because he had learned how to have a strong spirit, how to strengthen himself in the Lord, and he had a deep self-confidence and a deep self-assurance that came only from the Lord. There's no man can't manufacture that kind of strength. It was a supernatural enabling that David had. And so we have an opportunity at the first part of the year, and this is one of the things that I'm doing in my life, in my personal life, as I'm endeavoring and setting some goals to have a strong spirit. I don't want to be moved by the circumstances of life. I don't want to get put in a tailspin when something comes at me that I didn't expect. I want to be strong in faith. I want to be strong under pressure. I want to be strong and constant in my faith despite everything that life might put at me this year. When you work to develop your spirit, what that means is that you're strong and grounded in the Word of God. And our vision statement talks about that, being firmly grounded, standing in faith, being established in faith. That's a strong spirit. A strong spirit knows what the Word of God says about me, my situation, but it also knows what the Word of God says about my destiny and all the plans and purposes that God has for me. And a strong spirit also knows about the blessing. The blessing is everything that the cross purchased for us, everything that Jesus purchased for us on the cross. Because we're the children of Abraham, we get to partake in that blessing. So a strong spirit knows about the blessing and how it applies to our lives, and then endeavors to receive those things, to walk in victory. So how can we strengthen our spirit? We're going to talk about four ways. Number one is you have to evaluate your spiritual condition. You have to kind of do a checkup and see where things are at. There's a scripture in 3 John verse 2. It says, "Dear friend," this is John writing to a friend, Gaius. "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." So there's something about being strong in spirit that when the Apostle John was writing to his friend, he's saying, "I hope your body's healthy, but I hope your spirit is strong as well too." So what does this checkup look like? What does this evaluation look like? Look at your health. Look at your marriage, your finances, the relationships you have, the things that are happening with your family. One indicator of a weakened spirit, of a spirit that's not as strong as it could be, is a struggle in those areas. And I believe that the Bible shows us that the degree of success that we have in life is tied to the condition of our spirit. You can look at it. Think of a strong spirit kind of like a spiritual immune system. And if our spirit isn't wrong, we talked about the blessing, but the opposite of the blessing is the curse, right? The opposite of the blessing is really a bunch of bad things that we don't want. And when we're not walking in the fullness of God's blessing, we're leaving the doors open to the enemy, and the effects of the curse and all those bad things can start to creep in our lives if we're not diligent, if we're not careful to protect ourselves and have a strong spirit. What happens when you go in to a doctor and get a checkup? What's the first thing, one of the first things that they'll usually do? They check your pulse, right? Actually, you can cut yourself and you need stitches, and you go in there and they check your pulse right away. So it might not even be a fancy checkup. And then right away they check your blood pressure, right? They put that thing on your arm and pump it up, and they check your blood pressure. Those are part of your vital signs, right? Those are some key indicators of your physical health. And so when you go into a doctor, whether it's for an emergency or if you do a periodic checkup, your doctor is going to check your vital signs, and he wants to know, how are you doing? What does your health look like? And so just like there's indicators for our body that tell us about our physical health and let us know how well we're doing, there's spiritual indicators. There's spiritual indicators that show us how strong is our spirit. Is our spirit weak in an area, or could our spirit be stronger? I'm going to give you just a quick list here. I'm not going to have scriptures for each one, although we could do that, but I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. But let's start with some indicators of a weak spirit. First of all, you feel overwhelmed. If you find yourself getting upset over small things, or feel like you can't handle life anymore, or there's just too much on your plate, that could be that your schedule is overloaded. That can sometimes happen, that you've just made the choice to take on too much. But it could be that your spirit is not as strong as it could be. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Another indicator of a weak spirit, you feel hopeless. So if you're lacking joy, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're having a difficult time getting your spirits up during the week, if you feel like giving up, and you just don't have the same passion that you recognize maybe you once had, you know, and there's various parts of your life that you can think about and think, man, I used to have a passion for that ministry or that particular part of my life, and I'm just not as excited about it as I once was. That can be an indicator that your spirit has become weak. Maybe you're self-centered. You're just finding that you're not able to give or have as much joy in being with others or blessing others. It could be a complacency, right? Just have a lack of desire to get out and do anything. Just want to sit and veg, not do a whole lot. Oftentimes, it's doubt and unbelief that can cause us to become complacent in our lives. James 1, 6, and 7 says, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. When we feel complacent, oftentimes we're not being as spiritually diligent. So we don't put the same effort into praying into decisions and hearing from the Holy Spirit, and we can lead to bad decisions. Short-tempered is another thing. You're touchy, easy, offended. We become overly sensitive to life. Fearfulness is another indicator of a weak spirit. If we just find ourselves just gripped by fear, just apprehension, we don't understand where it's coming from. Or exhaustion, just feeling weak and tired at the end of the day, nothing left to give ourselves, nothing left to give our family. That can be, again, too much of a busy schedule, but it can also be an indicator of a spirit that's been weakened. You know, as I look through this list, and that's probably why this list spoke to me a little bit, because I was able to recognize in my life, even as your pastor, there were some of those things that I experienced at different times during 2017. I'm not going to tell you which ones. That's a secret. But, you know, there was some of those times. Well, here's one. There's times where I've been short-tempered, you know, with my kids. And maybe they did something that wasn't that big of a deal, right? And it's like, gosh, like, are you kidding me? Like, close that door. Like, I told you to feed the dog 3 times or whatever, right? And there's times where maybe I didn't have as much grace. And that's not the kid's fault. That's me not having a strong spirit. That's me not me being full of the Spirit of God as much as I could be and as much as I should be, right? And so I found at least two or three things in that list. I have a lot on my plate, and sometimes I can feel overwhelmed as well, too. And so there's things there that I'm reading that and I'm thinking, man, in 2017, there was areas where I didn't have as strong a spirit as I could have had. There was times where it seemed like I was the nail and not the hammer, right? And we don't want to be in that place. Here's some indicators of a strong spirit. Now, a strong spirit can take work, but it can be done for sure. Some indicators of a strong spirit: you're assured and confident. You know, when you're assured and confident that what God said is going to come to pass in your life, that He's going to do it, that He's going to perform it, man, that gives you just a strength and a joy when you start your day, right? It's just, you just know that you can just tackle anything because God's on your side and He's going to do it for you. Abraham was a person with a strong spirit. We've read this verse before. This is Romans 4, 20 to 21. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do what He's promised. Abraham had no doubt in his mind. Once God had made that covenant with him, he was fully convinced, and he was strong in his spirit. He had strengthened himself in the Lord. Another indicator of a strong spirit is you're established and movable. So when your spirit's strong, you're not afraid of bad news. You're not afraid of what the devil's going to do to you. You're not, you know, not nervous, like, oh boy, I hope the devil, you know, doesn't bring any attacks against me today. But your eyes are fixed on the Lord. You're confident in the Lord's power to deliver you. And when stuff comes, there's no panic whatsoever. You just look at that situation and you apply God's word to it and you speak faith over that situation. But your heart and your mind is fixed on the Lord. You're fixed and immovable. You're ready for anything. You know, a strong spirit isn't surprised when stuff comes its way. A strong spirit is ready, because the Bible says that the enemy, you know, he's seeking to devour us. He's always looking for an opportunity. He's always looking for an open door to spread some doubt, to spread some fear in our lives, to get us off track, right? So a strong spirit recognizes, first of all, the enemy's tactics. A strong spirit's aware of the enemy's tactics, and they're ready for anything the devil throws, but they know that through Christ, we're more than conquerors. So an overcomer's attitude. You know that you're more than a conqueror, and you apply that to your everyday life, right? A strong spirit looks at challenges, whether it's in the workplace or family situations or relational situations, and puts confidence in the Lord and has an overcomer's attitude, not a victim's attitude. Lastly, a strong spirit doesn't give up. A strong spirit never quits. A person with a strong spirit will not quit. And there's lots of scriptures that we could read on not quitting, but a strong spirit, it has just firm faith in the Word of God and such a strong confidence in what God can do in their situation. They will not quit. They will not give up. You know, that is, if you look at many faithful believers, many faithful Christians who we would look at and say, man, they've had a tremendous ministry, or look at their walk with the Lord, look at how the Lord has blessed them. Oftentimes, one of the very biggest factors in that person's life is the fact that they've never given up. They have just refused in the face of whatever situation that they're in, that they will not give up. I remember the story that I read of Rick Renner, and he is a gentleman who's been pastoring in the Soviet Union for many years. And the Lord just spoke of that to him one day. He was walking the streets of Moscow, and he was just, you know, there was some financial burdens and some financial pressures. And I believe he was just reminded of a time that Brother Kenneth Copeland, because they're friends and they minister together, and just time that Brother Copeland had encouraged him in that, and Brother Renner was at the point, he was at the point of giving up and throwing in the towel because ministry was hard and there was bills he couldn't pay and he was feeling pressures and things like that. But he just made that decision. He made a quality decision. I'm not going to give up. And you know, his breakthrough was right around the corner after that. He was so close to his breakthrough. In fact, his breakthrough was already on its way, but he didn't know it at that time. But he just made the decision to not give up. And you know, the Lord has given him success after success. And now they have a ministry that just ministers to just tens of thousands of people all over the Soviet Union. They have a TV ministry and just a powerful church. And they just minister to salvation to all kinds of people. But they wouldn't have that ministry if he had made that choice to give up and throw in the towel. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. This aspect of not giving up, this aspect of patient endurance, this is so key, because God's promises, the Bible tells us, are yea and amen, right? They're a certain thing. They're a done deal. But we need to press in to receive those. We need to stay in it. You have to be in it to win it, right? If you're in a race and you decide to bow out, even if you've raced well to that point, if you're in a race and you decide, well, I'm going to get out of the race, I'm going to go sit in the sidelines, I'm going to, there was a motorcyclist or a dirt bike rider that I used to enjoy watching. His name was Chad Reed, and that was one of his phrases that he would often say is, "You have to be in it to win it," because with dirt bike racing and motocross, so often it's like hugely unpredictable. And so I remember there's races where I'd watch Chad Reed, and there's usually about 25 laps in a race. It's a period of time, and so you never know exactly how many laps. But there was times where he would not have a good start, and he'd be like eating people's dust, and then he would crash. And of course, I'm cheering for him, and I'm thinking, there's no way Chad Reed is going to get in the top three. He's absolutely, he's out of it. But he would stick with it, and he would keep on doing his very best. And wouldn't you know it, someone in front of him would crash, and then there'd be another pileup, and a couple other guys would get taken out. And over the course of the race, he's someone who's known for sticking with it, and there was many times where he would win a race or get a podium finish when you just would not believe that would happen at the beginning of the race. And then one of the things he would often say in the interview is, well, you got to be in it to win it, meaning no matter what happens, no matter how many times you get knocked over, you pick up your bike and you just pull that throttle and you keep on going, right? And so he had that overcomer spirit. So how'd you do in that list? Don't put your hand up for any of those things. But if you're like me, there's probably some indicators, some places where you recognize, my spirit could be stronger in that area. And if you're like me, there's probably some areas where you have a strong spirit, right? Some situation, some part of your faith where the Lord has really been real to you and you've been able to get a strength and able to stay strong in that area. And so most of us are probably a mix. But no matter what our spiritual condition is, it's important to think about that, have that evaluation process. And so I would encourage you, that's one of the things that you can do at the start of the new year. Just get alone with the Lord. Think about that, but say, Lord, just reveal to me, show me some of the areas where I can do better in 2018. Show me some of the areas in my life where I need a strong spirit, where I need to get some revelation from your word and be able to have victory in that area by your strength. As you do that and as you get more into the word and get more grounded in God's word, it's going to be easier to resist those temptations. It's going to be easier to resist those opportunities to quit, right? The more we have that strength, the more we have that foundation in God's word, we're going to have, less complacency. We're going to have more passion to do the things that God has called us to do. The next key for developing a strong spirit is watching your spiritual diet. And this is such a big one. If you go to your doctor for a checkup, I went to Dr. LaRue probably 6 months ago. I didn't even know that he came back to Canada every once in a while, but he did, and so I caught him back here on one of his trips back to Canada. He was only here for 2 or 3 weeks, but I really like going to Dr. LaRue, and so I was able to get in with him, and that's one of the things we talked about was food, and he wanted to know about my diet and what I was eating. And that, if you're going for a checkup, if it's not an emergency situation, get a new doctor if you cut off part of your finger and the doctor wants to talk to you about your diet, right? But if you go in for an annual checkup, and the doctor is talking about all kinds of health things, he's going to ask you about your diet. He's going to say, well, what are you eating? And probably talk about cholesterol level and things like that and your weight and all kinds of things. And so why is diet important? Why do doctors or physicians do that? Because we know, it's well documented, that what you eat greatly affects your overall health, right? You've heard of a phrase that you are what you eat. How many of you guys have heard that phrase, you are what you eat? There's some funny memes about that as well. Like, you are what you eat. I don't recall eating a good-looking man this morning, but or you can put all kinds of things in there, right? But it's true, though. You are what you eat, right? And so that is not just true in the physical. That's very true in the spiritual realm. And so, if you want a strong spirit, you have to give your spirit some good spirit food. You have to give your spirit some faith food. If you're feeding your spirit some doubt and some unbelief, and perhaps not even intentionally or inadvertently, you can't expect your spirit to stay strong. If you're not feeding your spirit the right thing, it's going to be really difficult to have that strong spirit when the time comes when you need a strong spirit. So God's word is our food. We know that. And it contains all the nutrients, all the health that we need to have a strong spirit, all the health that we need, all the ability to be strengthened in the Lord. That comes from God's Word and from spending time with His Spirit, from spending time in His presence. What happens to us Christians, though? Well, you know what? So many times we find ourselves feeding on other things, feeding on things that maybe aren't as healthy to our spirits. What would that look like? Well, it could be oftentimes it's related to entertainment. And usually it's kind of a little bit of a cycle that comes with being complacent and kind of being down and tired. And when we're in those places, when we have a weak spirit, oftentimes we're less motivated to get into the Word of God. And it's just way easier to sit on the couch and turn on the television and just, you know, whatever's on television, watch Murdoch Mysteries or the hockey game or whatever, right? But that's, you know, in my life, I can say that because that's what happens in my life. If I'm tired, if I'm feeling complacent, if I'm a little bit down on myself, I'm not really motivated, like, oh, let's get in the Word of God. Let's see, you know, it's just like, oh, kids, can you bring me a Diet Pepsi? I just want to sit in my chair and just, like, watch something on TV, right? And I don't really want to do a whole lot. I'm not motivated to go out and work on a project that I might have going on. I'm just, you know, just kind of like, oh, just let the entertainment come. Just let the information come. Or I might get on my phone or my computer and look at some websites or, you know, read some news or whatever. But chances are when I do that, I'm not feeding myself on the Word of God. So if you're anything like me, you probably do that a little bit. Here's the issue, that most of the stuff, you know, unless you're watching like Miracle Channel or something like that, but most of what you're going to read in the news, most of what you're going to see on your Facebook feed, most of what you're going to see when you're flipping through the channel TV channels, most of it is contrary to God's Word, and almost all of it isn't faith food. Almost all of it isn't faith food, and it might not, you know, you might not pick up, it might be really subtle, but I mean, here's an example. You know, you get these medical commercials, and they'll say, you know, 2 out of 5 men will experience prostate cancer before the age of 45, and it'll go on to talk about a medication. That is doubt and unbelief in the highest form right there. And you didn't even realize it. You just thought you were just listening to a commercial about a medication, but they say, you know, 2 out of 5, you know, or you know, 3 out of 10 women will experience breast cancer, you know. And you know, and it's just feeding you this doubt and unbelief, and you don't even realize it. And it's not subtle. You're not watching something that's really bad on TV. It's just a commercial about a medication, right? Or about a medical procedure or whatever. But there's just so many subtle ways. When we're watching, if you're watching a drama and a movie, and there's people that are reacting in that drama or that movie, and just in a real ungodly way, or treating each other without honor. What are you feeding your spirit? You're feeding your spirit, dishonor and a lack of respect for family or relationship or things like that. And a lot of this stuff is just so subtle. But we don't realize that we're actually feeding our spirit something when we're doing that. And it's not faith food. It's doubt and unbelief. So it pulls us down. Typically, the kind of food that we're going to get when we're engaging in mass consumption online is you know, it's going to feed our spirit all the wrong things. I have a list here. Fear, doubt, anger, violence, foul language, sexual immorality, all those things. That is more than likely the kind of things that you're going to see. Now, of course, I understand there's always exceptions, right? There's good programming for sure. There's good websites that we can go to. There's, you know, I have some real good social media accounts on my Twitter feed that I, you know, whether it's Brother Copeland or other pastors or whatever, that I can be built up and encouraged and renewed. So there's always exceptions, but we just have to be so careful and so aware of the type of food that's coming in. And what happens is many of us, and this is something that I think I've believed at times in my life, because there's, you know, I can think of, it's been quite some time, but I probably have to think back to when we lived in Medicine Hat, and there was times, for example, where friends would tell Candace and I about a TV show. Now, there wasn't Netflix back then, and so if we were going to binge watch a TV show, that meant that someone had to download it, right? But I had a couple of friends that had real good internet connections, and they would say, oh, you got to watch this TV show. It's a really good TV show. And by the way, here's 3 seasons of it, you know, and they give it to on a USB stick. And so, boom, we'd throw that on my computer. And 3 nights later, that's all we've done is watch like season one, and you know, and you're like up to 2 a.m, and the next night you're up half the night, and you're like struggling to keep your eyes open at work the next day, but you just can't wait to get home to get into the rest of that season three or whatever it is in that silly TV show. And we just gorge yourself on something that is totally opposite in faith food. Well, if a situation, and again, I can say I haven't done that in quite some time, but if a situation was to come in that moment where I needed to be strong in spirit, am I going to be able to respond the way God would have me respond? If all I've done for the last 24 or 48 or 72 hours is just feed myself something from the world, and it might not be even all that bad, but it isn't the Word of God. It's not faith food. It's so hard to respond in a situation in a spiritually strong manner in the way that God would want us to have a strong spirit, you know, in a crisis situation, if that's how we've been feeding ourselves. And so spiritual diet is so important. You know, going back to David, it's interesting that David knew about this. Now, we don't know totally what culture was back then. So I don't even know all the things that David's referring to, but there was obviously things that David could look at that would weaken his spirit. Now, he didn't have television, he didn't have internet, he didn't have social media, he didn't have all those things, but David says in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. I will refuse. Basically, David's saying, if it's ungodly, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to put my eyes on it. I'm not sure exactly what he was referring to in their culture, but David knew the importance of, you know, what went in front of his eyes and who he associated with. He just knew the importance of what he took in life, and so he was so careful to protect that. Luke 11:34, another scripture that talks about this, says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when it's unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. So the scripture is saying your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. Have you guys ever experienced this? That maybe you meet someone and you haven't, let's say you haven't, you know, met them for quite some time, and they just have a joy, and they're just like bouncy, and they're just a vitality and a sparkle in their eye, and you can just tell by looking at them and looking at the eyes that they're doing well, right? That they're feeding on some good things. Have you guys ever had a situation like that? Or how about the opposite? You haven't seen someone in a while, and they're just kind of like downcast. They just kind of like have a dull look. They're just kind of glazed over, and there's just not a lot of life in their eyes. Well, what have they been feeding themselves on? Right? Chances are that person, who doesn't have life in their eyes, hasn't been feeding themselves on some good faith food. Chances are they've gotten to a lot of other food that's not so good for them, and you can see it in their eyes because the eye is a reflection of what's happening in the body. So it's so important for us to understand the power of what we see with our eyes, the power of what we hear with our ears, and everything that we take in. Trust me, it gets into your spirit. Whatever you're looking at and whatever you're listening to, it gets into your spirit. That's why you can't listen to secular music where there's bad language and they're just talking about themes that are totally ungodly and expect to have a strong spirit. It's absolutely impossible. It will get into your spirit. Take it to the bank. Guarantee it. If you're listening to even music, that maybe you enjoy the beat or whatever, but if it's lyrics that are contrary to the Word of God, it will get into your spirit. It will drag you into the gutter. Matthew 13:15 says, for the hearts of these people are hardened, their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Now, Jesus was the fellow who spoke those words, and he was talking about the people of Israel. But it's interesting, when we look at that scripture, he's saying, their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear. And what is the result? Their hearts can't understand, and they can't turn to me and let me heal them. These people, because they had been fed themselves on the wrong thing, they were filled with doubt and unbelief, and their eyes were darkened, and their ears were blocked, and their hearts couldn't understand everything that God had for them. And as a result, they weren't able to receive the blessing. They weren't able to receive everything that God had for them. They weren't able to receive healing in this example, because they just couldn't receive. They had blocked themselves to the point where their spirits were so weak and they simply could not receive everything that Jesus had for them. The healing was right there in front of them. And you know, the same thing that can happen to us when we're not careful with our eyes, when we're not careful with our ears, when we're not so careful of our spiritual diet that our eyes become dulled, our ears become blocked, and we can't, the end result is it's very, very difficult to receive from God. It's very difficult to receive the things He has from us. Now, we can live in this world and guard our hearts from being influenced. It's definitely possible to do that. That's the good news, right? Is that, you know, we can be part of modern society. We can have some technology in our lives. We can do those things. And we can protect ourselves from being influenced. But we have to be so careful to just to watch the things that are contrary to the Word of God and turn it off, delete the account, hide it, block it. Just don't do that thing anymore. Do whatever you got to do to make sure that you're consuming that faith food. You know, part of it is even the friends that we choose, right? Now, if you just have a circle of friends in this church, chances are you'll do okay. We have good people in this church, right? People that'll build you up, encourage you. It's important for all of us to have friendships and relationships outside of the church, but we have to be aware of those relationships and aware of the social dynamic, right? So am I giving in that relationship, or am I receiving in that relationship? Now, there's good people in the community, even people that might not know the Lord, that you can receive from, that you can receive wise counsel, that you can receive advice. But we just be so careful. Am I the one that's doing the influence, or am I the one being influenced in this relationship? And if so, if I'm receiving any sort of influence, what type of influence is it? Is it influence that aligns itself with the Word of God, or is it influence that's contrary to the Word of God? So friendship is such an important thing. But surround yourself with people of faith, right? The Bible says, iron sharpens iron. And so surround yourself with not just believers, but people who are faith people, people who know the Word of God, who know about the blessing, who know what the Word of God says about you, your identity, your situation. Tell them about your situation, then believe in faith together, and you'll come together sharpened. You'll be feeding yourself on the right things. With your diet, with TVs, music, television, any other form of entertainment, I encourage you to make the choice just to eliminate anything that you recognize is not feeding you the right way. That takes courage to do that, right? It might take ditching some things. I've had to ditch some things in my life. You know, I used to like playing computer games a whole lot, and I've had to ditch some computer games because, you know, it's hard to think that, you know, a guy's 40 years old, used to be in computer games, but man, when I was 20 years old, I would stay up, I'd get like 2 hours of sleep a night because all I was doing was playing computer games, and I could barely lift a shovel the next morning at my job because I was so tired, right? But I was wrapped up, but I had to make the choice at some point in time in my life, and it was about 15 years ago, to say, I guess I'm done with that because it's just not helping me at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it's doing absolutely nothing for me. Even if I enjoy it, be willing to give up those things if it's contrary to the Word of God. And then keep the Word of God in front of your eyes. We're not going to talk a whole lot about that because you guys know how to feed yourself in the Word of God. But it's being in the Word, it's spending time in God's presence, spending time in prayer. But there's lots of other ways. There's good Christian podcasts you can listen to, or Christian radio. You know, I've been in Dan Walker's truck sometime, and Dan will have Christian radio on, and that encourages me because I know that Dan's driving around with Christian radio or Christian worship music. Others of you will play Christian, you know, worship music in your vehicle. So it can be worship music, it could be Christian radio, it could be reading, you know, just some good godly books. We know we have BVOV magazine, Believer's Voice of Victory magazine, at the back there. I was reading, one of the things that I did on my break was just read some articles in the latest issue of that magazine. Man, that builds your faith. It strengthens your spirit. It gives you a strong spirit. When maybe it's not even the Bible, but if it's good biblical teaching that's full of faith, that's going to strengthen your spirit. That's going to give you strength to respond the right way the next time one of those challenging situations comes by. This is an interesting one. And this is actually something I was able to put into action just earlier in December. I don't know, I don't know totally how it's been in this church, but we've had a lot of people coming and going through our property because of this whole project that's been going on. And these contractors were just dropping like flies. They were getting so sick like this. Sounds like there was quite a wicked flu that was going on the Swan Valley area. And so many different people were getting sick and really sick. And I had to take a drive on our property with Chris, our contractor. And he says, well, you may not, you know, let's take separate vehicles. You probably don't want to ride with me because he says, I've been really sick. I said, Chris, get in the truck. I said, I'm not getting your sickness. I have no concern about that whatsoever. Well, you know, that was the only reason that I was able to have a strong spirit in that moment, and I didn't get sick, was because, you know, the couple of days previous to that, this had been a focus for me, because I had heard about people getting sick, and one of the scriptures that I had spent some time just meditating on and praying over was Proverbs 4:20-22. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. And so I had declared that scripture, and in my times with the Lord, you know, I was actually reading, apart from that verse, I wasn't even reading scriptures about healing. I was reading some scriptures in the first part of Exodus and then some scriptures in Acts about the early church. And it wasn't necessarily totally related to healing, but as I was reading the Word of God, I said, Lord, I declare that as I read the Word of God, it is health to my body, that your words, that these words that I'm reading, they're supernatural, they have supernatural power, and that my body is strengthened and made whole, and my immune system is made strong as I'm reading those words. It's just something that I did because the Lord had put it on my heart to do that. And so I was able to have strength in that situation when Chris said, well, you better not ride with me. I'm like, get in. I have no concern about that whatsoever. God's going to keep me healthy. And praise God, he did. And so I give the glory to God for that. But I was able to have a strong spirit because in that moment, in that situation, I had fed myself the right way. People can go a lifetime, people can go a long time and not receive the fullness of everything that God has for them, not receive the things that the Lord wants to bring in their lives because they let their spirit get weakened. And so that's one of the things I just want to encourage you with is everything, like we talked about, everything that we need for life, the Bible tells us everything we need for health and godliness is found in the Word of God. And so feed yourself on the Word of God. Feed yourself faith food. This is so important. And this will make just such a huge difference for the strength of your spirit in 2018. Step three, get spiritual exercise. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy, this is 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, says, train yourself to be godly. Verse 8, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Of course, getting fit is an investment. It's one of the reasons probably why I don't work at the gym is I hate work. You know, I do not like treadmills and exercise bikes and lifting weights and all those things. And so if I can't play a sport, I just haven't got to the place yet, you know, where I've decided I'm going to make that investment because it takes a lot of persistence, a lot of dedication. I see Bob driving to the gym at 8 o'clock, right? 8:30 is when you drive to the gym, is that right? Yeah, I saw you last week driving to the gym around 8:30 and like, good for Bob, and I'm so glad I'm not going to the gym at 8:30 because I don't have the person, you know, I don't have that dedication to do it, but bless God, Bob does. But it's probably tough to get up in the morning and make that decision, right? Especially when it was one of those days where I think it was like minus 30 out, and I'm thinking, man, we should both be in bed, not me driving around and him going to the gym. But yeah, it was a good motivation, Bob. But the Bible tells us there's value in physical exercise, but even greater than that, spiritual exercise is so much more important because it exercises those spiritual muscles. It's you know, all that input that we've had from God's Word, all that training from God's Word, now is the time to put it to use. Now is the time to exercise it. And just like in the natural, when you exercise your natural muscles, you get stronger physically. When you exercise your spiritual muscles, when you actually put into practice the truths that you learn from God's Word, you get stronger spiritually. So how do we strengthen your spirit? You know, read the Bible, study it, and then confess it. That's a great way to start putting to practice God's Word. What is confessing God's Word? It's simply just speaking it over your life. So when you get a scripture that talks about you or a situation you're in or a scripture that talks about a part of your life that you want to have a greater level of victory in, put your name in it. Put your name in the gap. Say, this scripture applies to me. Maybe confessing it will involve printing it out and sticking it on your fridge or your bathroom mirror or putting just a note where you're going to see it during the day. But put God's Word into practice. Start speaking it over your life. That is spiritual exercise. The Bible tells us not to be just hearers, but doers, right? Confessing is a part of doing. Confessing is, you know, you're hearing the Word of God and what it says about you, but then you start to do it. You start to apply it to your life. You start to say, this is for me, and I'm going to speak it over my life. I want to talk about, just quickly about, one spiritual exercise that we can take, and It's just the importance of forgiveness. And this is something that we don't always pick up in this group of verses that I'm going to read you guys. This is a Mark 11. We're going to read from verse 26, sorry, 22 to 26. Often we read like Mark's 11, 22 to 24. We might focus a lot in verse 23. But there's something in verse 25 and 26 that I believe... Jesus said those words right together. They were a part of the same teaching. And so we're going to read all these verses together, and we'll talk a little bit about it. And this is just an example. Again, I'm just going to give you guys an example in the area of forgiveness, how we can get some spiritual exercise. We can work that forgiveness muscle or the forgiveness group of muscles and see victory in that area. So this is Mark 11, 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So those are powerful verses. Those are faith foundation verses for us. But let's keep reading verse 25. "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Having unforgiveness in our heart, really what it boils down to is it blocks the grace of God in our life. Right, unforgiveness. Jesus is saying these verses, and he's saying them right after the phrases that he says. If you do not doubt in your heart and believe those things that you say will be done, you will have whatsoever you say. So, those are again just powerful verses that when we're making faith declarations, we might even quote that verse. But right after that, Jesus is saying, "But when you pray, when you're making that stand of faith, if you have anything against anyone, you need to forgive them, because that unforgiveness is going to block God's grace. It's going to block God's blessing in your life. It's going to block you from receiving." And this is a tough one for some of us. This forgiveness muscle, this forgiveness exercise, this process of going through it. But you know what? The more you do it, the easier it is. The easier it gets to do. I think I've told this before, but it's somewhat related. But as a kid, sometimes I didn't always engage the brain before I spoke. And a lot of times it was my interactions with adults even. And I was just sometimes disrespectful. And of course, my parents, God bless them, were really good to always point that out. And they would make me go make it right with that person. And so I got really good at apologizing as a kid and just kind of humbling myself and saying, you know what, I can think of a couple of people that aren't in this church that still sticks out of my mind that I had to go speak to them and humble themselves and say, "I'm sorry for what I said. That wasn't right. It wasn't respectful at all." But I just did it so often I got really good at it. And I just started to stay humble, and slowly got wiser, and I think a little bit more honoring in the words that I said. But the point was, as I exercised that humility and that ability just to humble myself and say, "You know what, I messed up. Would you forgive me?" It got easier for me to do that. And forgiveness is the same way. It might seem like a real hard thing to do, depending on the situation. But when you do it, there's a strength that comes there. And then there's enabling to continue on and to make that a way of life. And you get stronger in that area. What does that look like? The article that I read, Four Ways to Develop a Strong Spirit, it was written by actually a KCM staff member. But they have these three steps, and I thought they were really good. So I want to read them to you. Here, this is just because I want to make this real practical for how you could forgive someone. And you may not even have the ability to go and talk to them. You may not even have the ability to meet with them. But you can do this in the spirit. You say, by faith, I forgive so-and-so for what they've done to me or what they've said about me, according to Mark 11, 22, and 26. So say that you're basically forgiving in faith, and say, "I release every feeling of hurt, animosity, or anger, and do not hold anything against this person," and name their name in their mind, or say their name out loud, "and I choose to love," and say their name again, "I choose to love them with the love of God in Jesus' name," and then make the choice and say the words, "I refuse to bring this up again," and that'll just settle it in your spirit. So, you're making a declaration that you're forgiving in faith according to those verses in Mark 11, and you actually go ahead and say that forgiveness statement, and then make the choice, make the declaration, I'm not going to bring it up again. That's your mouth telling your spirit, this is done, right? And why do you do that? So it gets up here, right? That's why you do that. It's important. And you can use those same steps. Of course, the words are different. But whatever the area is that you're needing to stand in faith for, whatever the area is that you want to get a strong spirit for, you can use those steps. Find a scripture that applies to it and say, by faith, I'm making this stand. By faith, I'm making this declaration. Read the scripture if you want. Make your statement and then just commit to that in faith that you're going to follow through and be strong in this area. And when you do that, it might seem hard at first, right? This is something that Candace and I have done, like for in the area of finances, for example. It was work to put a faith together in and a prayer petition for finances last year. It took some time to do that. I had a file on my computer for a while, and I did it, and I kind of procrastinated. It took some effort to do it, and I find it, but when I did it, it was such a powerful thing. It brought our family together. It taught our kids something about believing, just standing in faith for finances, and we saw victory in that area. We saw just a huge input in that area, huge for us anyway, towards the end of the year that really, really blessed us, right? And so it's something that we did together, but that was a spiritual exercise we did as a family. Those are powerful spiritual exercises, especially those of you who are parents. When you have kids and you say, kids, we're going to do this together. We're going to stand in faith. We're going to declare God's word over this part of our life. Or just do it with your spouse. Or with your parents, or whoever you have around, but get together in unity, honor God's word, make that statement. He'll bless it. Amen? Yeah. Last thing we're going to talk about is spiritual rest. When I was younger, again, one of the things I was good at is probably spiritual rest, but I thought spiritual rest was just my eyes closed in church, just standing in the pew and just kind of like, just like having a little nap during the sermon. Came by it honestly, by the way. Not today, but it was one of the advantages of sitting up front, actually, in the very front row, and the only person that could see that your eyes closed is really, your dad who's preaching, and so I was able to get away with it quite a bit. Actually, that got me into trouble, this whole spiritual rest thing. Maybe I've told this story before, too, but when I was, I think I was only 13 or 14 years old, and I went on kind of a youth missions trip. And there was a training in Essen, Saskatchewan, and then there was a Sunday service at the end of this week-long training. And there's probably 200 kids that had gone through this training, and then we went to this large church. It was a full gospel church in Essen. It's probably a church of 400 people. It was a fairly large church. Of course, it was really full with all of us kids there, but they had something that was a little bit different than we had at our church, or at least, I guess at that time we did have pews because we were meeting at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but I always sat in the front row, so if my head dropped a little bit in the front row, it wasn't going to hit anything. But I was at this church in Eston, and I thought I would get some spiritual rest during the Sunday service. And, I just kind of was doing this and bobbing a little bit, and all of a sudden, I guess I must have fallen asleep, and my head just went whack and hit this wooden pew, and it felt like I immediately swung up, and like the whole church was looking at me, right? Because it was like this really loud sound. I think I had a big red mark on my forehead, and it was totally obvious what had happened, right? That I had fallen asleep. So ever since that day, I think it's happened a little bit less. I've tried to get better at that. But anyway, spiritual rest is not falling asleep in church. Spiritual rest is making the decision to press into God, but then just to trust Him and to get to that place of peace in your spirit. Just to get to that place of rest where you've taken the time to invest spiritually, you've taken that time to spend time with the Lord, you know what He says about you, and you've spent the time where now there's a peace and there's a restfulness and there's just a trust you have in your spirit. How do we do that? 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time He will lift you up in honor. So give all your worries to God. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. How many cares and worries are we supposed to give to God? All of them, right? Peter is very clear when he writes this. Give all your cares and your worries to God. Anything that's bothering you, anything that's in your spirit that you're unsettled about, anything that you have uncertainty about, anything that you're believing God for, give that to the Lord. Some of us have actually talked to people who feel like this. Some of us actually feel that if they're not stressed and they're not worried about something, then it's almost like they're being irresponsible. that they're not, you know, that they're not shouldering enough responsibility. Actually, it was a pastor that I heard talk this way. You know, no one from the valley here, but someone from another part of Canada. You know, and he didn't have. I hope he's had a revelation since then, but that he's like, you know, I just love to worry. And there's some things I just love, you know, and I just feel like if I'm not worrying about something, I'm not doing my job. That's not God's way at all. God doesn't want us worrying about anything. He wants all our cares cast on him. I believe God's word is clear. The Bible says in so many places, don't worry, cast all your cares. Do not fear, or fear not is often how it's worded, at least in the King James. When the Bible says fear not, it's God's word that's telling us that. And so God's word is telling us something, and we're not doing it. What is that? It's called sin. So fear and worry is sin. Don't ever, ever, ever say, oh, I'm just so worried about this. Well, I mean, you can say that, but you're saying, oh, I'm just sinning about this in my life. Worry and fear is a sin. Don't confess worry and fear. Confess confidence in God's word and what he can do for you, right? When we stand in faith for God's promises and we make the decision, I'm going to receive from God in this area because I know what he says about this situation and I know the breakthrough and the power he has to move in this situation, we get a place of peace. There's just a quiet assurance that comes on us. That is resting. That is spiritual rest. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 talks about this. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Again, the example that I gave last week when I spoke to you guys was, you know, we had some extra charges that came up with this renovation project, you know, and our two families, Candace and myself and my parents, we had to get together. But we sought the Lord about what he would have us do. And when we had the answer, we just had such a peace about it. We weren't, and I'm still in that place. And I know my mom and dad are still in that place. That we're just not worried and concerned about it. But when we told our contractor of a decision, like, yeah, we're fine paying that bill, he didn't understand why we'd be okay with it. He didn't understand why we could have peace in that situation. Because it's a peace that didn't make a whole lot of sense. But it was God's peace. And God's peace is so special and so important when we get to that place. When we, you know, that kind of peace, again, the world just can't wrap their minds. You know, how can you have that kind of peace in that kind of situation? Well, it's a spiritual rest. It's not a natural thing. But when you do it, that's an awesome place to be in. The last thing that spiritual rest will do is it'll renew your strength. It'll build your spirit strong so you're not getting tired, you're not getting exhausted. You have strength for another day, strength to press into everything God has for you. This is a common verse. We actually sing a song that has these words. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait for the Lord won't get tired and they will renew their strength. What is waiting on the Lord? Waiting on the Lord is just get somewhere where you can get alone, where you can put distractions aside, turn off the TV, get God's word in front of you, go for a walk if you need to, do whatever you got to do just to put any distractions aside and get alone with the Lord. Just pour out your heart to him. Tell him how you're feeling, but then let him speak to you. You know, that has to be a two-way thing, right? When we're spending time with the Lord, it can't be just us talking. There needs to be a time where we get quiet and we say, Lord, you know, I've told you what's on my heart and what's on my mind. Would you now speak to me about this situation? And then just get quiet and let him speak to you. Let him build you up. Let him strengthen with you. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can speak in tongues. That's a great thing to do when you're waiting on the Lord. Just talk in tongues. Build up your spirit, man. It's something that I often do when I'm preparing for sermons. You know, sometimes it gets to the point in my schedule during the week where now it's sermon prep time. And I've been busy maybe on another task that is kind of mundane and it's not very spiritual at all. And there's that shifting of gears that has to take place where now it's time to hear from the Lord. What would he have me share? I have to pray in the Spirit in order to make that shift. There's no other way to do it, right? And so I just get in my office or if I'm in the vehicle, wherever I'm at, and just start praying in tongues and just honoring the Lord and just worshiping him that way. And man, that makes your spirit strong and that brings a spiritual focus to your life that you can't have any other way. There's no other way to get that other than praying in tongues and strengthening your spirit. And as you do that, you start to get direction. You start to get wisdom. You start to access God's grace for your situation. I found that again and again. And you get refreshed and strengthened. You just have a joy and an excitement and a passion. You know, sometimes, to be honest, writing sermons is work, and it's a large part of what a pastor would do during the week, and you're not always just like chomping at the bit to go and do it. But when you spend time in God's presence, you let him strengthen your spirit, there's an excitement, there's a passion, there's a desire to get at it, because you know that God has something to share with his people on a Sunday. And so again, this is something I've experienced in my life. And so I just encourage you that if you haven't been in that place, if you haven't experienced that infilling of the Holy Spirit, where you have that ability to spend time and speak to the Lord in your prayer language and speak to the Lord in tongues, let us pray for you. Let us lay hands on you. The Lord wants to bless you with that, because that is a powerful, powerful part of resting in the Lord. That's a powerful part of waiting on the Lord, is just that special time with the Lord. Just speaking a language that it's your spirit speaking to his spirit. It's bypassing your mind and all the objections and distractions and everything that you might have up here, and it's just your spirit speaking to his spirit. Amen? Let's stand. I'm done. I know that was long. I encourage you guys, thank you for sticking with me. This is a year where we can have a strong spirit, right? I have my list. I have my things in that list that I've kind of highlighted in my mind, areas that I want to get stronger and areas that I want to get better, and I want to have a strong spirit. And so I hope that has ministered to you guys a little bit, and that there's some things in your life where you can make the decision today, I'm going to be strong in that area. I'm going to have a strong spirit in that area. I'm going to build myself up in that area. I'm going to start giving myself faith food for that area so I can have a strong spirit and be strengthened in the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the time that we've been able to spend here together, Lord. We thank you for the sweet presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we've experienced during worship, Lord. We thank you for the prophetic word that we heard, the encouragement, the admonishment, Lord, that we heard, Lord, of just the amazing things that you have for us this year, Lord, that you're a God who's doing new things, that you're a God of exciting plans, Lord, that you're moving mightily in our midst, Lord. We thank you that you're God. You're not a God who's dormant, Lord, but you're a God who's got powerful things, Lord, that you're moving mightily in our hearts, that you're stirring us up, Lord, that you're speaking to us today and in the days that follow, Lord, of the ways that you want us to get a strong spirit, of the various ways, Lord, that you want us to get stronger in your word, stronger, Lord, so that we can influence our world with the love of God, with the power of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that being strong in our spirits, Lord, is part of living free under grace. It's part of being established in God's word. But it's part of just displaying your glory, Lord. It's part of overflowing with your power, your presence, and your goodness, Lord. And so I just pray for this church right now, Lord, for our church family, Lord, that you would give us the ability, Lord, just to spend time doing the right things, Lord, that we would evaluate our spiritual condition, where we're at, Lord, that we would make the choice to feed on the right things, Lord, that we would undertake spiritual exercises, Lord, that would build our faith muscles, Lord, and then last of all, Lord, that we would have the ability to rest in you, that we'd have the ability to wait on the Lord. And I declare as we do that, Lord, that we are a people that will rise to the next level. We will find ourselves strong in areas where we haven't been strong before, Lord. We will find our spirit strengthened, Lord. We will find ourselves responding to situations, Lord, in the power of your might rather than our own power and our own strength. And so I thank you for doing it now. I thank you for your divine enabling that is going to enable us to have strong spirits. We honor you. We praise you, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.